Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very young individual who's into zero waste solutions, Sahar Mansoor. Sahar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sahar is the founder and CEO of Bare Necessities, which is, as I mentioned, a zero waste solutions venture. In her own words, she's a circular economy nerd and she's an author. And all of you know that I'm always very partial to authors. So her book is titled Bare Necessities, How to Live a Zero Waste Life. There you are. There's the book. So Sahar, let's talk about Bare Necessities. Tell me, what do you do?
Yeah, sure. So we are a sustainable social enterprise, and the idea is to create products that are designed not to land up in our oceans and landfills. And, you know, I was working with Waste Pickers in 2015 on a solar energy access project, which was kind of completely unrelated. But I had the opportunity to kind of look, you know, have this opportunity to work from a very ground up perspective, see kind of the situation about how people are collecting waste, what does the waste infrastructure system look like, what are the gaps in the ecosystem, and also recognizing all of the rappers of my favorite bands on the floor on that morning route when I was following them, just really made me kind of think about how can I best live my values. I've called myself an environmentalist for so long, but how do I really walk the talk? And that's why I started to attempt to live a zero waste lifestyle, to try and reduce my waste to as little as possible. We all know that zero is kind of impossible, but the idea is to kind of try and reduce my waste to as little as possible. And while I started this journey, I found that there were others who were also looking to consume more mindfully. So the idea was to create a one-stop shop for all the sustainable products that are alternatives to, you know, your traditional plastic one, whether that means a compostable bamboo toothbrush or a chemical-free detergent for your soaps or dishes, or handcrafted soaps. But also education is a huge part. So that's why, you know, whether it's books or online courses or just talks and workshops at a cafe, at a local school, because we think, you know, waste management is kind of a big topic. And I think it's a lot of behavioral change that's also required. So we've also really been passionate about education and awareness, and we've tried to embed that into our enterprise.
Fantastic. So when you speak about zero waste personal care, what does that mean? And give me an example.
Yeah, sure thing. I think this is a really good example, which is a menstrual cup, right? It's a medical grade silicone cup, and it's designed not to land up in our oceans and landfills. And you can use it for 15 years, 10 years, depending on the make and the brand. So the idea is to see from the minute we wake up in the morning, we brush our teeth with a plastic toothbrush. So the idea is to kind of look at our personal care routine and see what are all of the factors or the products that are really dependent on the fossil fuel industry, the plastic industry, and are kind of polluting our groundwater and our earth and thereby our health. And the idea is to just transition that into more low impact ones. You could be using a miswak stick. You could be using a neem stick. You don't have to be using a bamboo toothbrush, right? You could be using a cloth pad. You can be using a menstrual cup. The idea is to just try and provide alternatives that are more sustainable in nature, that are made from perhaps a more recyclable material. And that's kind of the entry point for a lot of people to transition into living a zero waste lifestyle.
Fascinating. So, you know, I've often wondered, you know, I'm much older than you, but I've often commented that Indians are generally much more conscious about their waste. And I remember, you know, even the small little ball pens when I was growing up, which had replaceable refills. Refills used to be sold because people didn't want to throw away the ball pen. So how can each one of us, despite our consciousness, manage our waste better?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great example. And I think, you know, whether that is bringing back the ink pen, I think it's a dying art form to write with the fountain pen.
I love fountain pens.
Exactly. And or the refill economy, like you said, I remember being, you know, a 5, 7, 8 year old and getting so excited, getting back that 50 paisa every time we gave back the water, the, you know, the Pepsi, Coke, XYZ water or soda. And, you know, being the youngest of three, that was often my kind of designated chore. But I think we've been so part of the refill economy You know, whether that means getting your milk delivered to your door, which was at my granny's house in Belgaum, to those were kind of very commonplace in, you know, what we used to see in the 90s. And I think somewhere along the way, we've got caught up in this web of convenience and urbanization. And we've maybe thought that more consumerism is more aspirational.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going up that ladder, we're unfortunately getting a little disconnected from our roots in so many ways. You know, whether that means like everything needs to be repackaged in the West and come back here, whether that means yoga or means, you know, haldi doodh going back to, you know, New York, coming back as a turmeric latte. So unfortunately, you know, we need someone else to market it for us, whatever we've had here, whether that is a miswak stick or whatnot. So I think in a lot of ways, we're trying to decolonize the zero waste narrative too. Because to be honest, when I started in 2015, it was dominated by a very Western perspective.
Mm.
And it was, you know, a few examples, a few bulk stores in Brooklyn or, you know, XYZ. And the idea is to say, no, our Indian bazaars are everywhere. Right. You walk outside your house and there's probably someone selling, you know, fruits and veggie. And we are the land of small businesses. And this narrative of zero waste needs to be kind of decolonized in a rhetoric that is more Asian, more Indian. And that's why we are trying to fill in that gap.
Very interesting. So, you know, when I was looking at your website, I found you have a lot of products that you're making under the Bare Necessities brand. My question to you is now, as not as a conservationist, but as a marketer, mm-hmm. what goes into building a brand like Bare Necessities?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a completely woman-run manufacturing team that handcrafts all of our products. And I'm very proud of that. And that's something that's very close to my heart. You know, I went to an all-girls school. I grew up with two sisters. So I've had a lot of amazing female role models around me. And I wanted to kind of mirror that in the enterprise that I was trying to build. So we have personal care, home care, and then we have some lifestyle products.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, sometimes it's quite difficult as well because you're trying to build a new kind of sector almost, mm-hmm. right? And perhaps sometimes when you do a VC pitch or whatever, sometimes what you're trying to do does not fit into their rhetoric. For example, almost all kind of investors will ask you what your repeat customer rate is, right? And sometimes we're selling reusable items. So if it's a stainless steel straw, it's a one-time use. You don't need to purchase one ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's a collapsible steel tumbler or a stainless steel tiffin. The idea is to have people invest in one kind of high quality product that they use for the rest of their life,
mm.
and thereby kind of, you know, diverting all of that plastic that they otherwise might have consumed.
Mm-hmm.
So explaining to perhaps sometimes an investor that this traditional repeat rate is not exactly the best metric.
Mm.
So I think there are definitely challenges around trying to build this new kind of, you know, enterprise, because we've been so kind of used to the current FMCG enterprise, which is this kind of take, make, use, reuse, trash kind of approach. And now we're trying to do a whole like refill economy, reuse economy, and all of these things that are perhaps more environmentally and socially sound mm. in its principles. But it is a little bit of education on not just a consumer side, but even on a business and an investor speak.
Very well said. So, you know, one of the other things that I'm sure you have observed, and I've seen it all the time, is that in India, we love to throw our waste out of sight.
Yeah.
Right. As long as I don't see it, I don't care where it goes. And this means changing attitudes.
Yeah.
How does one change attitudes?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, I often say that more than a lifestyle brand, I'm in the business of changing mindsets around sustainability. And what we found is the talks and workshops element where we kind of do a do-it-yourself activity with people, teach them how to kind of get their hands dirty and compost or make their own toothpaste or, you know, make their own XYZ personal care product or a bioenzyme, has been a really fun, interactive, but a great entry point to people to kind of have that hands, that feel of, you know, what that zero waste can actually look like. Because the concept could be a little intimidating, to be honest, but by virtue of a workshop, we try and break it down, make it as fun and as accessible as you possibly can. And I think that's been a huge part of trying to help change a mindset around sustainability. And it's been something that we really enjoy as an enterprise as well. You know, we've done a bunch of talks and workshops at government schools, and that's been in perhaps Hindi or Urdu or Kannada, which is kind of led by our manufacturing team, because they speak perhaps the local language better than I will speak perhaps. And it's also nice for them to kind of just see people who look like them, sound them like them, as role models to kind of articulate that information, right? So we try and, you know, while we do corporate talks and workshops at a on a Zoom level or whatever, but we try to also engage on that hands-on kind of grassroots level as well.
Fascinating. And one, you know, you just spoke about composting. I find a lot of homes are beginning to compost. And my wife is a hardcore conservationist, and, you know, she's a teacher, but she's been composting at home for the last 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. Do you see this trend increasing?
Absolutely. I think, you know, during the pandemic as well, we've all had more time to just be a little bit more intimate with our own home, kitchen, waste. And I think a lot of people had, for the first time, had to take out their trash for a long time, you know, when the house help wasn't able to come in, etc. So I do think there is this awareness, and I think there is also this willingness to experiment. And I think, you know, with the access to online information, people are quite happy to try and watch a, you know, a video online to try and try it out themselves. So I think definitely more people now are composting than ever before. And I think this is only going to keep increasing. So it's a very positive trend, because we all know that actually 60% of our waste is just organic waste. So if we compost our waste, we're basically saving 60% from the waste ever entering our oceans and landfills.
Amazing. And if I want to start my journey towards zero waste, what are the initial steps I should take?
Yeah, I think the first few steps would be to just do a little small audit on your life. You know, anything starts with first analyzing. And if we can't measure it, or if we can't see it, then we can't change it. So for me, I kind of started to put all my trash in a glass jar. Okay. Or a bag, and it allowed me to have a little bit of intimacy with my waste and kind of see it, have that transparency with it. And then I noticed that a lot of my waste was food wrappers, and a lot of it was personal care products. And by simply observing that and then trying to embrace the alternatives, it helped me kind of reduce my waste footprint by 80%. So just getting all of my food in a package-free manner, and making all my personal care products. And now you don't have to make all of it. You can also, you know, purchase from an auntie in your building making a Shikakai beef shampoo. Or there are amazing lots of social businesses such as ours that are helping provide these alternatives. So I think that would be the first step.
Okay.
To do an audit. The next step would be, I think, to, you know, carry your own water bottle wherever you go. Carry your own little tote bag. Mm-hmm. I took an old T-shirt and made it into a little tote bag.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, there are a couple always in my backpack, glove compartment of my mom's car. To make it just easy and make it the default option, to make it accessibly placed, I think is also big. Segregating our waste, I think, is very important. So if we just had one for dry waste, one for organic waste, and one for reject waste.
Mm-hmm.
And having those strategically located, like perhaps all your reject waste can be that one bin in the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that means Band-Aids or et cetera. And then all your recyclables could be your high value water bottles, if you have any in that emergency situation, or cardboard, you know, that can get recycled, which basically loses its value once it's mixed with food. So, you know, if you have a perfectly amazing cardboard box that could have been recycled, but now has a tomato chutney on it, unfortunately, you can't do anything about it. It's now contaminated and has to be landfilled. So having those segregated bins, you know, using a miswak stick or a neem stick, or oil pulling, using bars of soap rather than the ones that come in plastic every month that you might have to purchase, getting an ink pen, getting a pen that's made out of seeds. This has little seeds at the
Very
back
nice.
Of it.
Wow. Yeah.
So when that's you're easy. Done,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, just looking at your lifestyle and seeing, can I walk to work? Can I bike to work? Can I use that stainless steel straw for my tender coconut water? Can I carry my own cutlery and box and BYOB, bring my own bag and bottle, so I don't need to kind of consume or depend on that. So I think it just starts with a little self-audit, and then trying to, when you run out of one product, see how you can basically replace that with a more sustainable alternative.
How fascinating. So one more question before I move to your book. You know, now the corporate sector is suddenly got very excited about ESG.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to several corporate leaders to really understand how serious they are. Yeah. But as someone who's practicing conservation, what are your thoughts on ESG?
Yeah, definitely. I think there is definitely an awakening. And I think, of course, it's so, so important to basically align all that we do on all spheres, all aspects of businesses, small or big, mm-hmm. with environmental and social goals, and being really cognizant that our economic objectives are very much in line with our environmental objectives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we also have so many corporate talks and engagements right now. And I think different people are at different stages. So, and often like an entry level kind of basics to zero waste or basics to sustainability is a great engagement for a lot of their corporates. And they're looking at it as an employee engagement at first to make sure everyone kind of gets on the same page to then further advance some of their ESG projects and just their CSR goals and things like that. So I think as a practitioner, I've definitely seen more people approaching us to look at things more holistically, and not just do something that it looks really nice on a glossy CSR booklet. Mm-hmm. And I think it's becoming more authentic. It's also coming from the top, which makes such a difference when there is a buy-in from leadership. And then you see that there is implementation is so much smoother. There's a lot of clarity on kind of what the goal and the vision is to move forward. And I think a lot of companies are also setting up goals and targets. And I think there is a lot of pressure. I think consumers are now being smart because we have information out there like never before in this era of technology. So we're all asking the right questions. So consumers asking the right questions, you know, companies also perhaps asking governments the right questions to create the right policies to kind of incentivize this transition. I think those are all kind of happening and it's really exciting.
Fabulous. So Sahar, let's now move to your book, Bare Necessities, How to Live a Zero Waste Life. Yeah. First, tell me, is it available on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. So for all our viewers and listeners, you can check out her book there. But tell me about the book. What made you write it?
Yeah, definitely. So when I started my zero waste journey, I found it was quite difficult to kind of navigate everything. You know, mm-hmm. I waited for my sister to come from Copenhagen to get me a bamboo toothbrush for 6 months. I would go to one store in South Bangalore to get one thing, and I would, you know, go to North Bangalore to get one thing. And the idea was to maybe make it just democratize some of the information around zero waste, mm-hmm. and basically create a book that is a guide that is like a you can do it yourself kind of book. Mm-hmm. So the rhetoric is very encouraging. It's very fun and accessible. It's also got a lot of gorgeous illustrations done by my colleague, yeah. Molly. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to make it as digestible and as fun as possible. And, you know, I wanted to really fill in this gap about zero waste and India. Mm-hmm. I felt there was a huge gap. There are some books in the Western context, and I think that it was really important for us to create a book for ourselves, written by us for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has recipes, it has guides. If you want to know how to recycle your old shoes, we also kind of digitalized or given shout outs to lots of amazing social businesses who are innovating in that space.
Wow.
Some of them that have a digital footprint, but some of them don't have a digital footprint. So you might not find them online. So the idea is that everything I wish I knew in 2015 is kind of documented in this book.
Wow. Wow. And you wrote this in 2015?
No. So the editors of Penguin, Tarni, approached us in 2017. And at the time, I was still building this business, and there's a really small team of three, and I just did not have the time or bandwidth to write a book. Mm-hmm. But in 2019, and then of course the pandemic, I really used that time to, you know, finish writing, finish editing and all of that. And it just got published in February, just a few months ago.
Oh, wow. So, you know, I must also then tell you that my first book was also published by Penguin.
Oh, wow.
In 2010.
Amazing.
So now let's move on, Sahar. I'm going to ask, I have time for three or four questions for you personally. You know, our sure. viewers love to hear a little bit more, which is about you personally. So let me start by saying that, you know, you started your journey with Bare Necessities in 2015. You're very young, but what would you say are three key milestones or pivots in your life so far?
Three important pivots in my life or in my business life?
Either. You choose. Any three.
Okay.
Could be a mix.
Sure. This is quite personal, but a lot has shaped me since I lost my dad when I was 8 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I think from a very young age, I realized that, you know, you have to kind of make it yourself, and there's no other way. So you have to just work hard and try what you, for whatever you want, and kind of make it work. And I had an amazingly supportive work environment and mom, my parents, my mom and my sisters, to make sure that, you know, I had lots of learning disabilities. I was dyslexic. And, you know, I could never finish a test or an exam. But I think the message that I got from very early on in life is work hard and things will happen. So I think I started to internalize that more when I was 8, because, you know, my mom started working full time. And I noticed those dynamics of how working hard kind of plays in. So I think that was a huge kind of restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was me working at Selco Foundation, which is a solar energy enterprise that largely, you know, works with agrarian farmers to solarize their equipment, but also housing and things like that. And I think I learned a lot from a ground reality perspective, you know, having been an environmentalist, being really passionate about it. It's different to read about Paris agreements and commitments towards solar energy, but it's so different to look at it from what's happening at a ground up perspective. And just understanding different financial models to make it accessible for people was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. For example, we had our street vendors. Suppose you have a chai curry and you have a small solar lantern. You pay 10 rupees per day because your income is a daily kind of daily, you know, you perhaps a daily wage laborer or that. And then some of the farmers that we worked with in the rural India would pay perhaps 200 rupees a month. Mm. So the idea of just finding the right financial model for different kind of end users was also like a real game changer for me. So lots of things that I learned from Selco has been really pivotal in my life. And then the third would be working with waste because really closely and really humanizing our waste problem and understanding that our waste problem is a social justice issue beyond an environmental issue have been like three very pivotal moments in my life.
Terrific. So I've got time for two more questions for you. My next question is that someone who's been practicing as a conservationist, working on the environment, got your own brands, what are some of the core values Sahar believes?
Yeah, I think being authentic to who you are always, no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think sustainability, I'm trying to embed that in your life on an environmental perspective, but in all aspects. You have to sustain your relationships. You have to sustain your finance. So being sustainable and self-sustainable is something that I try and embody. And the third one is perhaps never forgetting to kind of work hard and give it your best shot.
Okay. Okay. Terrific. And then my last question to you, who or what inspires you to keep doing so much?
That's really generous of you to say, first of all, but I think I was so lucky. There are just so many amazing social entrepreneurs out there who are working on so many different solutions that are trying to basically just reshape the way our economies are structured, that are creating social impact and environmental impact. And I think that's something that's been really, really inspiring for me. Whether that is, you know, enterprises like Selco or Goonj, there's just so many amazing social businesses in this space that are really trying to herald this transition to kind of a low carbon economy and to a plastic free economy and to just an economy that's just more sustainable on so many fronts. And I think that's what really gives me hope.
Wonderful. Sahar, thank you so much. It's been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for sharing so much about bare necessities. You know, before this conversation, I thought I knew about conservation. After talking to you, the first thing I'm going to do is pick up a pen and paper and do an audit. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.